For review, we have been going over the Freedom Tools last few weeks as teaching by Andy Reese and Jennifer Barnett. They've done the revised and expanded edition. This is the book. And you can get a lot of information from the website. It's freedomprayer.org, O-R-G. And if you go online, they actually have what they call a Freedom Prayer Basic Training Guide. And so if you remember that that little chart that we had when we were teaching on praying for physical healing and then deliverance when it shows up, you know, what I love about it is the very last page, to be honest, and that's that they have this little reference sheet. It's like a little chart. It's the basic freedom prayer diagram. And so across on the left-hand side, you're going to see the we sud. Okay, so remember the lost coin is the wounding, the lost sheep, the entanglement, the prodigal son is sin, the older brother, ungodly beliefs, and any demonic influence on this side. So the first thing we're going to do is when people are sharing, you know, we want to try to walk through and figure out what's the issue here, right? And so across the top is going to be the fruit loop. So you see the fruit. What's going on? So when it comes to wounding, we might see, here's some examples of the fruit of wounding: fear, hopelessness, confusion, tainting, powerlessness, rejection, abandonment, shame. Okay, those are all signs that wounding is present. Fruit of entanglements, any hindering of things, failure, sickness, control issues, unexplained issues, soul ties, feeling bound or stuck, okay? Then in terms of sin issues, there might be guilt, avoidance, shame, torment, even God's resistance about some things, reaping consequences, hardness of heart. If it's ungodly beliefs, then we might see a little spiritual intimacy or little spiritual intimacy or little passion, untrue religious beliefs, a distant Father-God relationship, and maybe being very striving or performance-orienting. And then demonic influence signs would be these dark voices, intimidation, having a strong energy or compulsion for sin, vile dreams, thoughts, habits, any past occult or related activity, idolatry, any of those kinds of things. So that's what we're looking for when we're listening to people, is we're looking for fruit. What's the negative stuff that's showing up? Okay, then our next question is going to be walking through that we said, the root, where did it come from and why? Remember, there's a cause and effect. So we want to define and reframe the wounding issue. What happened? You know, it could be, you know, someone hurt your feelings, said something to you, or, you know, some situation happened, you know, whether that's a wounding. Give me a couple examples of wounding, just generic wounding. What would be some examples? An abusive relationship, mm-hmm. Verbal or physical. What would be another one? I'm sorry? An offense, okay, but can you be more specific? Like, what would be an example? Being kicked out of the church because you speak in tongues. You can get hurt by that. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. What would be an example of an entanglement kind of issue? Remember these, like the lost sheep, it's kind of unintentional. Didn't really know. Nobody? Going once? Going twice? Associating yourself with bad influences, okay, yeah. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? That's part of the deception, part of entanglement. It's a sheep that wanders off and gets a little lost, okay? A teenager that wants to be popular starts to hang out with the wrong crowd a little bit, gets involved in stuff they didn't really realize they were going to get into, okay? That could be an example. Sin issues. What would be some of those? Pornography, lying, gossip. We're a little bit more clear on that one, aren't we? Okay. Ungodly beliefs. What would be an ungodly belief? God is not good. Mm-hmm. Feeling not good enough. What was one? That God's the source of the problems, right? Blaming God. Mm-hmm. He's not good. That would be an ungodly belief. Anything else? Hmm? Warp theology. God doesn't love me. I'm not good enough. Yeah, those kinds of things, yeah. So other religious teaching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So then the next step is going to be that we would boot it. Okay. Oh, let me back up. I forgot the root of demonic influence. A lot of times when you can feel that, sometimes you'll have a manifestation, actual manifestation, but a lot of the times when it shows up for me with people, as I'm talking with people, it's just like there's this invisible wall. And I'm not talking about protectiveness, like they're protecting their heart. It's kind of a, I don't know, kind of a, there's this invisible wall, like unable to break in or break through or get clarity. Sometimes it can be that as well. There's some kind of resistance. Sometimes when we look at addiction, the inability to be able to break out of an addiction, you know, no matter how hard they try, no matter, you know, there's usually layers to that one actually. But all right, so boot. In order to get it out, we want to boot it, okay? So when we're looking at wounding, we need to clear it out. So it says release lies. We need to release the person. We need to release forgiveness. So release is kind of the key word when it comes to wounding. We need to hear truth from Jesus and forgive as appropriate. That's how we release wounding. It's the first step. If it's entanglements, that's when we renounce any agreements that we've made, okay? We repent and declare truth, forgive as appropriate. When it's sin, we repent. That's the other R. So it's release, renounce, repent, reveal, rebuke. Those are the kind of the key things there. So we need to repent of sin. So we confess what is sin. We hear the truth. We forgive as appropriate. Notice forgive as appropriate is going to be through all of these. If it's ungodly belief, we need to recognize the lie, reveal the truth, repent, renounce those false beliefs, agree with what God says is true, forgive as appropriate. And then if there's demonic resistance, then we can speak a rebuke to the actual evil spirit. We remove their right of access. Okay, so that comes from those ungodly beliefs or the sin or the wounding, unforgiveness, those kinds of things. We want to shut the doors of access to the enemy. And once they have no legal access or right to be there, then you can kick them out. That's when you have gained the authority to say, now you have to leave, and we cast them out. And again, make sure we forgive as appropriate. So the next step is going to be looting. So now once we've cleared everything out, we want to take back what was stolen. So anytime you release something and get rid of something that's negative, we want to fill up with something's good, okay? So it's kind of like when I think of gardening and you pull out the weeds, we want to plant a good thing in its place, okay? So we receive forgiveness and filling, we replace lie with truth, we renew the destiny and blessing. This is when you can start practicing the prophetic stuff that we did this summer too, releasing identity, all those things, the blessing that comes back to them. And then scoot, these are some of those life choices and changes that will have to take place that day and the day after. This is a life process change, right? In order for healing to continue, we have to do some things different. We have to remember the Lord our God who brought us out of Egypt, who brought us out of slavery. Remember his goodness. Recount what God just did and said. I usually tell people, write this down. I tell people to write down a lot of things. Write down your dreams, write down your prophetic words, write things down, write down what you're studying and getting from the word, journal it through, ask God questions, but especially when God does something that's just a God thing, right? You wanna remember that. Remember, I just think about Israel being told, remember the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out, remember the Lord, because they forgot God constantly, right? Like, oh yeah, water from a rock. Oh yeah, you know, 30 days of quail. I mean, you know, so it's like they constantly forgot the goodness of God and how he broke in for them. So it's important to remember. And then refill your life with good things and rehearse. So how to stay free, those kinds of things. So this is just a real basic little guide that is really, really helpful. We're not gonna jump into a whole lot, but I wanted to kind of just give you that overview, like a review. Or whatever there. But where I want to hang out right now Let's just review again the root part. So there's wounding, entanglement, sin, ungodly belief, and demonic resistance. And the stories on the left-hand side come out of Luke 15. Okay, the parable of the lost coin helps identify the wounding. The parable of the lost sheep helps us identify the process of entanglement. The prodigal son represents the sin issue. The older brother was the ungodly belief in the prodigal story. Okay, and the demonic is the demonic. But what I want to spend a little bit of time with here, we talked about just the concept of doing kingdom business. Now, the concept is pretty basic. It just means this is what we are doing when we're doing inner healing prayer ministry. We are doing kingdom business. It says the concept for DKB, as he calls it, doing kingdom business, is the Bible teaches us about repentance and freedom and that it's done with a heartfelt declaration of our mouth, followed by action, followed by obedient steps. We have to remove the right of the enemy by lining up our hearts and our mouths with the truth of God and his will for our lives. It's an exchange where we give to Jesus the things that harm and hinder us and then receive from him what we need. Often, this stuff is going to be done mainly through the boot and the loop process of the fruit loop, okay? So once we identify in the we said, once we identify what is the issue for wounding, the main thing that we need to deal with, the main thing that we're going to go after when we're doing kingdom business is forgiveness, okay? When we identify entanglements, the main thing that we want to go after is breaking the agreement. Remember, if I make an agreement with the enemy, it's like I sign a contract. Think of the word agreement. If I make an agreement with him and say, yeah, I'm stupid, or yeah, I'm not lovable, if I make an agreement with the enemy, if I agree with a lie, it can become a truth. So it's like signing a contract. Anybody ever sign a rental agreement? Okay? There's usually a price to pay when you break the rental agreement, right? Well, Jesus paid the price for us. All you have to do is agree to apply the blood there. Okay, and that helps us break that contract. We tear up the agreement by renouncing and breaking the agreement. So breaking any curses, vows, soul ties, or agreements that we've made, and those kinds of things. So then if there is sin issues, then we know to confess the sin and then repent. Confession, remember, means, that word does not mean get on your knees and beg. Confession means to say what God says. So if God says it, this is sin, which means it is off target. Literally, that's what the word means. Sin means to be off target from what God designs and what he wants. So when we sin, we are off target from where he wants us to be. So we confess what we did was wrong. And so we want to now renounce that, and we repent of that. Repenting means to change the completely opposite direction, okay? Change the way you think. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent doesn't mean get on your knees and just beg. Repent means change and go the opposite direction. Think differently. So when we have ungodly beliefs or lies that we believe, we have to renounce those and then declare truth. And then if there's demonic, then we learn to break agreements, and then we cast them away. We have to recognize our authority to tell them to leave, but they will not leave if they have permission to be there, if they have legal right to be there. Everybody ever been into a rental issue? If you've rented property and there's a squatter in the property, you know, I mean, it's hard to kick somebody out sometimes unless you have legal right to kick them out, okay? So these are the concepts that we want to think about when we're doing kingdom business. But I want to spend a little bit of time specifically about forgiveness. I'm quite sure that you've heard multiple sermons on forgiveness. But for some reason, we still have a hard time with that one. So I think one more sermon or teaching might not hurt, right? Anyone agree? Is that going to be okay? I want to highlight a section that he has in the book. In the Revised Expanded, it's starting on page 124, 125, but he goes into forgiveness. He said that 90% of prisoners, remember we talked about the difference between prisoners and captive? So a prisoner is there because you do something wrong and you get sent to jail, right? So now you have to serve time. If you're held captive, you're held against your will, right? Like you didn't necessarily do anything wrong, but the enemy was able to take you in like a prisoner of war, kidnapping you, okay? But 90% of prisoners, quote unquote prisoners, are in prison due to harbored unforgiveness. I think that's pretty incredible. So that's why this is like my number one little tool, right? Like I always go there. Remember when we were talking about physical healing and we talked about when we pray for physical healing, we pray two or three times and it seems like nothing's happening? I almost always will ask non-judgmentally, very honoring and very kindly, giving them an opportunity to go out, basically saying something like this. Now, I'm not saying that there's an issue here, but sometimes it's a principle that's in effect. But if I ask you this question, once I ask you this question, you do not have to tell me the answer other than yes or no, I don't need any other details. But could it be possible that you have unforgiveness? If I ask you right now, is there anyone that you need to forgive? Does a name or a face pop into your head? Okay? Any place right now, and most of the time people will say yes. Most of the time there's somebody, okay? Even if it's the person that just cut you off on the way here to church tonight. You know, I mean, sometimes there's somebody there that you'll go, yeah, that one just popped in my head. Sometimes it's like, really? I already forgave them. Well, there might be another layer, right? So it's important to just go, okay, whoever, just by faith that the Lord brings up for you, between you and the Lord, you don't have to tell me or confess it to me necessarily. Between you and the Lord, simply say, God, I choose this day to forgive so-and-so for whatever it is, fill in the blank. Even if I don't feel like it, I make the choice, because you have to exercise free will, I choose to forgive, help me to forgive. Okay, so that's a simple prayer that I walk them through, and then we usually can pray for healing, and a lot of the time, that is what needs to take place before the blessing of the healing can come. Not always, but sometimes that's a key for physical healing to manifest. Emotional healing has to manifest, because again, it gives the enemy access to you, okay? So when we're dealing with bitterness, recognizing, he mentions Hebrews 12:15 here, but bitterness is unforgiveness that has gone to seed, defiling many. And so bitterness as unto the bones, okay? It goes into your bones. Sometimes when I talk to people about when they have certain kinds of diseases and things that affect the bones, sometimes the first question I ask them is, do you have people in your life that you need to forgive? A lot of the time, there's some level of emotional trauma or abuse or something that's gone on in some of those areas. So they can overlap. So that's the why we really were intentional this summer about spending time talking about physical healing, how to pray for that, how to then move into hearing the Lord and declaring a prophetic word and then coming into inner healing. Now remember what I said when we first started this teaching is this can seem really heavy and really complicated, and it can be, but I want you to think of it very simply because again, you're not the healer. Just like I can't heal pain in the back and I can't open deaf ears, only God can do that. Ultimately, only God can heal the heart. So what I want you to remember is heavy as this can be, because it can uncover our own stuff tonight as we're talking about it. Okay, we'll inevitably do that. We've all been wounded, right? I mean, every single one of us has been affected. And so this can feel heavy, and oftentimes we avoid inner healing prayer or inner healing ministry because it feels too heavy, too complicated, don't know what to say. Okay, so that's why we're going through this teaching, is because I want to give you very simple tools and strategies to use where it doesn't have to become complicated. Okay, now I know that there are some situations that can be, but again, I want you to have basic tools that when people come and share with you their life stuff, okay, they're on the phone with you and they're venting, well, so-and-so just did this, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and blah, 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 and then you're like, okay, it sounds to me like that really hurt. First, I'm going to validate. Don't go, oh, you shouldn't be that way. Don't give advice. Don't start with advice. That's usually not a good rule, okay? Usually validate. I hear that really hurt. Man, that must have been really hard. to deal with, or just validating the feeling. I hear you. Repeat back what you heard them say. Reflective listening, okay, that's a really great communication skill we don't all have very well sometimes, okay? So just being able to be there for the person. Remember we talked about a culture of honor, loving the person right there. You don't have to have all the answers. Jesus is the answer, okay? You have him, that's all you need. So the first step is simply being able to be there, to hear them. I'm so sorry that happened, right? Validate the pain, that's so terrible. Gosh, that seems so frustrating. I think I'd probably be angry too. In fact, I'm really angry that that happened to you. You know, I'm really upset that that happened to you. I'm so sorry. You know, being able to identify and to validate is the first big step that most of us really want when we're venting. Right? We just want to be heard, right? And just be like, this really hurt me. Oh man, I can see that it really hurt you. Like a lot of times that's a lot right there. That does a lot of healing right there just to know that I'm not alone in the midst of my pain. Can you come and sit in my pain with me without trying to fix me first? That's a huge first step, okay? We want to be with. We want to be with. We want someone to be with us in it. But then, as we begin to talk to that person, we can ask in the same way that we ask when we want to pray permission for physical healing, okay? We need to ask permission. Well, how about we pray about that? Is that okay? Can I pray for you? You know, and so a lot of the times what I'll do is I'll start off maybe praying for them, but then before I go into that prayer, sometimes I'll say, well, you know, this really feels like an issue of wounding that I think the Lord really wants to heal. It's the same kind of a phrase that I'd say if you said your knee was hurting. Well, I think the Lord can heal that. Can I pray for you for that knee? Same simple phrasing, okay? Well, it seems like that is a wounding that I think the Lord really can heal. You know, I think Jesus paid for that one. You know, would you like to be healed of that? Here's the kicker. Some people want to hang on to it for a while. You ever run into those? You know, or ever have that? Or, you know, I ain't ready to forgive you yet. You know, I'm just going to be mad for a couple days and just stare laser out my eyes at you, you know? So sometimes we can be that way. Let's be real. I know I'm not the only one. So, but remember, they got to be willing. You know, well, when you're ready, okay, when you're ready, I would love to pray for you about that. But especially if they keep talking about it, and especially if they keep bringing up the same issue over and over again to you, do you have any of those? People tell you the same problem over and over again. Isn't that the definition of insanity, though? Are you doing anything different? Well, you know, before I give you any advice, how about we pray about that? Okay? And so then we want to invite the Lord into that place of pain. Can I pray for you about that? You know, if they're willing to let you pray for them, then sometimes what I'll tell them is, okay, well, before I pray for you, I want you to know that I'm going to open up in prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to do kind of a repeat me prayer. Okay, I'm going to repeat after me. And it's going to be real simple, because I like to keep things really simple, like a child. Real simple. That's kind of how my brain works. So I'm just going to keep it real simple. And listen, if you don't like the way I say something, then go ahead and rephrase it however feels right for you. You need to be able to agree with these words when you pray them to the Lord. You know? So I give them permission, and this is really important, because you don't want to blindly. And hear me, if someone asks you to do a repeat me prayer, you don't want to just blindly say whatever it is that they're about to say without you knowing what it is first. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, you need to don't just repeat just because you hear the words, because you might actually unintentionally come into an agreement or a vow that's later going to be something you're going to have to break off and renounce if you don't pay attention to what you're saying. You have to agree with it. Okay? So don't just blindly follow whatever people are going to say. You're going to be able to repeat after me, you know, but you have permission to change the words, or if it just doesn't feel right, you know, you can change it or just not say it. It's okay. Give people permission to say or do whatever it is that they need to do. Does that make sense? Okay. Once you do the repeat me prayer, it's a very basic, okay, when we're talking about forgiveness, it's going to be, I might say something like, you know, Lord, will you, you know, just come, Holy Spirit, just come and just, you know, shower your love and affection over them, bring your peace and bring your comfort. But Then I'm going to ask in that repeat me prayer. Now, when you're ready, I'm going to start and just say, Heavenly Father. And then they would say, Heavenly Father, you know, and you just do a real basic prayer. I choose this day to forgive so-and-so for what they did to me, okay? And then you just walk them through that, and you renounce any lie or break any agreement, anything else that may come up in that situation, but specifically it's this place of forgiveness when it comes to wounding. I need to be able to forgive. Now, let me back up. The key things about forgiveness, and he mentions them in here, okay, there's three things that will show up. Number one, when we're dealing with unforgiveness or wounding, we deal with some issue of a debt owed that is unpaid. Like someone wronged me or did something to me and they owe me now, okay? And I have a right to see you pay me back, kind of a thing, okay? So there's a debt owed that's unpaid. Number two, there's usually a judgment that's maintained against the perpetrator. So not only was I wounded and now you owe me, but now I'm also judging you for doing it. Okay, so that would be a second thing. And then the third thing would be some expectation that that perpetrator may someday give me what is owed or needed. I expect you to pay me back. Okay, if I let you borrow my car and you drive it around and you wreck it and you bring it back and you say, oh, it's just a ding. Oh, okay, just a little fender bender. Okay, well, let me go take a look. And I go and look outside and the whole front end is torn off. And I'm like, this is much bigger than a ding. You know, oh no, it's really not that, you know. Listen, the person who was wounded gets to define the value of the wounding or the amount, right, of hurt that's there. So please remember that what I think is really, really painful may not be a big deal to you. Or vice versa. Okay, it may seem like a really big deal to you, but maybe not so much to me. Whoever it is that was wounded gets to define the damage, okay? You don't get to say, that really wasn't that bad, Cindy. You don't ever get to say that to people who are wounded. If they're telling you this is painful, and you can ask them, just like you did on the physical scale of pain, you can ask them on an emotional scale of pain, give me a number on a scale of 0 to 10. It feels like a 7. Does that feel like a 7 to you? You know, oh, well, it's more like a 4. Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's still pretty painful. That still hurts. I mean, 4 is still pain. We'd really like for it to be a 0, right? Okay, so let's still pray for it. But what I'm saying is you let the person decide the value of the level of the pain. Don't ever diminish somebody else's pain. It's pain to them. That's what matters, right? That's how we move into that. Remember that foundation of the culture of honor? We want to honor where they're at and how they define that. Now, in this analogy of the wrecked car, let's say, you know, I let you borrow my car and you ding it, and you're like, well, here's $50 to pay for it. And I'm like, $5,000 worth of damage to the front end of my car, okay? That's not gonna be enough. Oftentimes, this is what happens. Okay, even if someone does say that they're sorry or they do something to make an amend, if the damage is so severe to me that I'm gonna value it at $5,000 and you think it's worth $50 worth of damage, hello, buddy, I still have a bill here. You still owe quite a bit, okay? Now, even if a person tries to, quote, pay it back, well, I'm sorry, let me do something to make it up to you, let me try, and they can pay 50, several month payments or whatever, but they still only make it to, like, let's say $1,000. I'm like, 4,000 left. Now, that's what unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness carries a bill. It carries a debt. You damaged me. You owe me, and I expect you to pay me back. And I'm judging you now for having done this. So every time I see you, laser is shooting out of my eyes. Every time I see you, I cringe a little bit. I have an emotional reaction. I don't even want to look at you. I don't even want to be in the same room with you. If you have that kind of a reaction, it usually means there's still forgiveness needing to be done. There's still some place of wounding. If you can't be in the same room with somebody, let's pretend if Erica hurt my feelings and I truly forgave her, I ought to be able to see her. Now, I don't have to be her best friend, just so you know. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. It doesn't, okay? But doesn't mean I'm gonna ever let her borrow my car again. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, however, if I'm really free, then I'm free to be me in her presence and vice versa. I don't have a debt held against her anymore. If I really have forgiven, okay, then I can do that. Forgiveness does not mean that that person has access to my car anymore, though. It's not necessarily true. Sometimes there are boundaries that have to be set and toxic people you can't have in your life. But you are still responsible for the condition of your own heart. You still have to forgive. Okay? So, I may not ever give her the keys to my car, but I can still say hi to her when she's in the room. Right? You hear what I'm saying? I'm free of her. Free of her opinion and her effect of me. And I no longer hold it against her either. Those will be some signs. So if you can't do that, there can be some signs that there are still layers or levels of wounding. It does not mean that you didn't walk through a forgiveness or a layer of forgiveness. I'm going to say it that way. Okay? And the other thing is, too, some people think that, well, it just takes time. Sometimes time helps, but time does not heal all wounds. Only love does. Love has to come in. God himself has to come in to be able to heal that place. Okay, he's the healer, remember? So, if I'm going to forgive this, that means I tear up the bill. I don't hang on to the bill and actually accrue interest too. Okay, so I have to tear up the bill. Now, does that mean I drive around a beat up car? I drive around like I'm limping emotionally all the time. No, that's not real forgiveness either, because I'm going to take my heart and I'm going to give it to the Lord, and he's the most amazing repo man, or he's the most amazing, you know, he's the guy that's not going to just refurbish my car, but he's actually going to trade it in and give me a brand new one, right? If I give him my heart of stone, he'll give me a heart of flesh. Okay, so if I will go to him for my healing and not just me trying to work it out, if I'll go to him to my healing, he'll take my damaged car, he'll take my damaged heart, and he'll give me a brand new one. And here's the thing, any debt that's owed is now between them. That's between that person and the Lord, right? He's the ultimate debt collector, okay? Jesus already paid for it all, but if I can apply it to me and apply it on her account, then it's finished, okay? But those will be some signs. So forgiveness is huge. It's a huge part of this. And you'll see it all through that little chart as you're going through the boot. When anytime you're booting things, repenting of the sin or renouncing agreements or whatever it is, it's always a good idea to start or to say somewhere in there, is there anyone that you need to forgive? Now, he's really clear on making this point really clear that we don't forgive God. God doesn't do anything wrong. Now, we might have a feeling, or some people might need to feel like they have a judgment against God, or maybe they had an expectation of him or an ungodly belief about God that they need to renounce or repent from. That's one thing. We don't ever have to forgive God because he didn't do anything wrong. Okay? So let's make sure that's really clear. But it is important that when I say the phrase, do you need to forgive God for things, what I'm looking for is there a judgment? Is there an ungodly belief? What comes up when that phrase shows up with somebody? And then I explain exactly what I just said to you. Well, technically, God is really good. He really didn't, you know, he's not the one to blame here. But there's a judgment that you need to repent from or renounce, or an ungodly belief you need to renounce, okay? And then the other thing when you're looking at forgiveness is they may need to forgive themselves, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I know I can be the hardest person on me than anybody else in this room. So it's important that we also take a look at any place where we might need to forgive ourselves, you know? And it doesn't necessarily mean that I did anything wrong per se. When I deal with people who've been victimized in any way, shape, or form, they will oftentimes blame themselves. I shoulda, woulda, coulda. If I hadn't have been there, then that wouldn't have happened. If I would have just done this, or to, you know, they have to forgive themselves as well, okay? And they have to then, once you ask forgiveness, we receive the forgiveness, right? We loot. That would be the next step. Once we boot it out, we loot. We receive their forgiveness, and we fill us up with whatever the blessing is in that place. A new truth, a new identity, a whole heart, okay? And sometimes it does take time and repetition for us to walk this out. It's not always going to be an immediate thing, and not everybody may be ready to forgive. In fact, sometimes people actually need to walk through the debt that that person owes them first. I've had encounters with people who feel like every time they come across a Christian, they just say, well, you just need to forgive. You just need to forgive. Well, you just need to forgive that person. Well, you just need to forgive. Well, that's true, but They also need to identify the debt. They need to identify the damage that was done. Sometimes, like I said before, people just need to be validated. That really hurt. You know, that sounds really awful. I'm really angry that happened to you. Sometimes people need a little bit of time having to access that place, okay, where they need to have permission to be able to be angry about what happened to them. And I say this really intentionally to you because I work with a lot of people who've been very wounded by the church, okay? And they hesitate when they come see me as a Christian counselor because they're like, well, I know I need to forgive, because they'll tell me. I know I need to forgive, but it's not that I don't want to, but it's just I can't yet. You know, this I was wronged. I was wronged. And they want to talk about how badly they were wronged for a long time before they're ready to forgive. And sometimes we need to let them talk about how much damage was done. They need to recount. It's almost like in my damage car example, it's like they need to walk through, okay, so the fender is broken here and the paint is chipped over here and then this, the headlight has been completely cracked and this is going to be completely replaced and this, and they're going to have to like itemize the damage. Sometimes they need to do that. That's just a place of process in the heart. And so sometimes they need to have some time and permission to look at the damage and for you to validate that that is awful and to sit with them on some level, to some degree, in their pain. And when they're ready, whatever that time looks like, that's really between the Lord. Ask the Lord, right? Like, don't try to rush it, okay? People need permission to be able to have their feelings. You need permission to feel. We're told clean it up, just forgive, put on a smiley face. Come on now. You know, you're highly blessed and favored. You know, you should just be joyful and happy all the time. Well, you know, everybody's going to deal with stuff every now and then, okay? So being able to be vulnerable takes a great deal of courage. The fact that they're even sharing with you some of that stuff is sometimes a really big deal, right? I mean, let's be honest. Most of us don't like to share our ugly. We don't like to look weak, quote unquote. So it's really important that we're going to be really loving the person in front of us who's in that place of wounding. Now, it can feel pretty heavy. It can feel like, oh, drama, emotion, you know, that kind of, especially when you're stressed out. But that's why you have to take really good care of you if you're going to be a minister. If you're going to pray, if you're going to love on everybody else, then it's vitally important that you take care of you. The Bible says, freely you've received, then freely you will give. So you have to receive this for you first. So I always talk about starting with you. You know, even in the therapy world, we have the whole therapy, heal thyself, you know, kind of like doctor, heal thyself, physician, heal thyself. You know, we have to, as the healers, quote unquote, the prayer team, we have to make sure that we're okay, that our hearts are okay, that we're in a good place where we can minister to other people too, okay? So we don't put on masks and pretend so that we do that stuff, because then you're going to open yourself up to some other stuff every now and then. So you really, really want to make sure that your heart is in a good place and that you need to be able to make sure that you have forgiven and that you've walked through this, because inevitably, if you're with somebody else talking about their pain, it might stir up your own. Oh yeah, that reminds me of that time when. And then you might, listen, you might actually feed the lie that's in the other person because you believe the same lie or ungodly belief. I've seen it happen. Well, you have every right to, you know, when they start giving him. Okay. So remember when someone mentioned gossip earlier when we were talking about sin. That's what happens. Okay. Oh, well, yeah. And I was wounded too. Oh, I can't believe they did that. They did that to you too. They did that to me. You know, here we go. Okay. All right. So, were you going to say something, Mia? Let me get the microphone real quick. Y'all remember that these are all being recorded, so take care of what you share. Thank you, dear.
So what I wanted to say was, I think it depends on a person too, but you know, I'm very process-oriented, so like you have to process everything. So like I talk about it and process it. And I don't think guys are like that sometimes. I don't want to, you know, just like stereotype people.
Right.
But I think it's so, you know, whenever I have a conversation, I'm like, I'm just processing. And the other thing was kind of like, you know, while you were talking, what came to me was like, you know, we had to do all these series of training online and my work. And, you know, who wants to do that? Nobody, right? So like I would try to click through everything. And at the end, it's like, oh, they take me back because I clicked through it too fast and it just didn't have time to load. So, you know, it was totally ineffective. So I had to go back and do it all over again. And, you know, things like that. So I think it's sort of like that to me. And one other thing, I had this experience where we were at the marriage conference from Bethel.
Love After Marriage.
Right, Love After Marriage. And we went up as a volunteers to go through some of the like the heart-to-heart thing, and just personal ministry time. And, you know, I thought this issue was dead and gone, and, you know, I dealt with it. So, you know, I really didn't think that there was anything, but I just went up there just to see, right? And while the minister was talking, the leader was talking to me, what I realized was she said something like, what about the effects of this thing? They were talking about the effects, you know, because, you know, there was a situation, you know, my parents. So I said, I forgive my parents for that. But what about the effects of they... you know, thought that their needs were better than yours, or, you know, they wanted to take care of their needs. They put their needs before your need. And then I, all of a sudden, like, I started crying. It was like, you know, there was tears and flood coming out. You know, I mean, of course, you know, my parents are already gone, so I don't really have time to deal with them. But there was that part that has not been dealt with. So there's so many different aspects of forgiveness and healing. Anyway, this is kind of a big deal. Just wanted to share.
Yeah, well, just remember, it goes back to our foundations. Remember how I said in this, you'll want to review that 10 foundations on a regular basis, and one of them is that there's an event and a process going to take place. The event might be the actual prayer, but this is a process. Like, you are in the process of sanctification. You know, you are becoming like Christ each day. And so there may be, and I like the word layers, okay? There's an analogy of using an onion. If you peel an onion one layer at a time, you're going to get tears at some point, okay? So sometimes when you're peeling back layers and layers of wounding or lies or ungodly belief or whatever it is, you know, tears may need to come. But and it can be painful. But you can think, well, didn't I already deal with that? You know, didn't I already look at that? Okay, well, if it's coming up again, my question is always going to go right back to the Father. Father, what are you saying about this? What am I believing about me? What am I believing about you? Are there any lies in here? Those are real simple questions to be able to ask. In fact, anytime you're triggered, I've said this before in another teaching, anytime a button gets pushed in you and you react instead of respond and it doesn't look like Jesus, there's something there, okay? So we all have room to grow, right? Because that's part of our human nature. It's in our soul man, but that is often our fallen nature that shows up, okay? I always like the analogy, I think, it was, you know, Todd White and I know Dan Muller both say, you know, when you squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. It would be weird if you squeezed an apple and got orange juice, right? No, an apple, you squeeze an apple, you're gonna get apple juice. But if you squeeze a Christian, you should get Jesus. When we get squeezed, Jesus should come out, okay? But it doesn't always happen. So it's not about beating yourself up and shaming yourself, but just recognizing. In fact, I actually thank God when those things happen. Sometimes I joke. And I'm like, well, thanks, Satan. Okay, you pushed that button. So now, Father, why did I just react that way? What was that button about? What lie am I believing? Is there another time in my life where this felt similar? Show me a memory, a time. What's the theme here? What would be the emotion that's being triggered? You know, why did I, what is that that's coming out of me right now? And then I repent, I confess, I rebuke, I make it leave, I tell that whatever that spirit is that was motivating it to go, I come into the Holy Spirit, I get filled, I worship, I'm thankful, and now Satan's gonna pay. Because the minute you get free of stuff, then you're gonna help 1,000 other people get free. Because now you recognize it, right? You see what I'm saying? Take captive every thought and bring it under obedience to that of Christ Jesus. So everything that comes, it doesn't sound like him. It's Bill Johnson that says, I cannot afford to have thoughts in my head about me that God doesn't have in his head about me. So the minute we begin to recognize some of those triggers, a lot of the time it's going to fit in that category of wounding. Sometimes it'll be the ungodly belief or, you know, or whatever, or even sin, even recognizing that it's sin. You know, to be deceived means you don't know. So we want the revelation of going, oh, wait, okay, now I'm no longer in deception about that issue. I'm no longer blind to it. Or if I have someone who loves me really well and has the ability to come and tell me, hey, there's some stuff that I see in your life that I know is not you, that is not who God designed you to be. Okay, we need to be able to love each other well enough and have people speak into our lives so that they can call us out on our stuff too, because we all have blind spots, right? This is how we grow, iron sharpens iron, where we're able to be open and vulnerable with one another, okay? So that's why we're going over this, is because we want real simple tools to understand and to highlight how do we walk this out with people, but keep it simple. Don't try to overcomplicate it. You don't have to be a professional counselor. You just have to know Jesus. Okay, and then you just ask him, okay? And but these are the basic tools we want to take a look at. Again, when you understand the fruit loop, that'll help you kind of go through the check, okay, we identified the fruit when we look at the we said and the root, basically kind of both. What's the negative fruit that's here? What's the root of it? Where did it come from? So that's when we're looking for the wound, entanglement, sin, ungodly belief. This is a demonic thing. Then how do we deal with it? We're going to release forgiveness, break lies, renounce agreements, repent of sin, reveal any truth in terms of replacing ungodly beliefs. We want to replace them with the truth of the word. It's really nice in those moments to actually know some scripture to give to people. You know, it's really important that the word becomes alive, living, and active in us, because then that becomes our sword, right? In the middle of something happening, that becomes a sword. And guess what? I can take my sword out and hand it over and let someone else borrow it for a moment. Hey, guess what? There's this verse that says, and then I can basically hand them that sword and say, declare that over yourself, okay? Agree with God. And you're just going to do very simple repeat me prayers. Okay, so I feel like you need to renounce this or whatever. And you just let people go. Sometimes they'll just start doing it. It doesn't have to be exactly your repeat me prayer. It might be you get them started and they just keep on going and you let them. However the Lord's going to lead them as they flesh it out. Here's the other thing to remember. This can be an emotional thing. Let people have their emotional time and process. But don't expect necessarily tears to always come. It's not always going to be an emotional cathartic experience for people. There are some people who process very differently their stuff. They may be more head intellectual kind of people that aren't going to boohoo in front of you, but it doesn't mean that they didn't really mean it. Does that make sense? You need to let people be who they are. Let them be how they process. The main thing is we're trusting that they believe it. Now, I think there are sometimes you can tell if people are just repeating after you and they don't really mean it. If you can, then gently call them out on that and just say, you know, it's okay if you're not ready to do this. Give them an out. It's okay. We don't have to do this if you're not ready. Don't do it just to be nice to me. Right? Like, I don't want people to tell me that their knee doesn't hurt anymore when I've prayed for them just to be nice to me. I'm just claiming it by faith. Well, that's really good, but I really want to know, is the pain still there? You know, are you ready? Do you really want me to, you know? So it's okay to touch in with people, but make sure that you give people permission to be who they are. That comes back to the foundation of culture of honor. Not everybody is going to boohoo and cry. But sometimes you will see them kind of stuffing their feeling or holding it back and then just kind of, you know, walking through the checklist or the process. And then I just say something really simple that gives people permission. And I say, just take a nice deep breath. It's okay to let your feelings come. Just give them permission. If they don't, that's okay. But you give people permission to walk through whatever process they need to, you know, so that they can own it for themselves. That's the most important thing, that they mean what they're saying and how they're walking through this prayer process. Does that make sense? Okay, so these are those key, this is in that chapter about key elements when we're getting started with all of this. So we know to break agreements, confessing and repenting, talked about that, renouncing. I like what he says here about real repentance is not simple remorse and self-pity. It's actually seeing that we've hurt somebody deeply and have hurt ourselves, or we're fully facing our sin and turning to God without any excuses. Habitual sin is often not the result of simple, chosen, or prolonged rebellion and disobedience. It can be rooted in trying to get temporary relief from some other painful situation. In those cases, repentance is important, but it's not really foundational. To be set free, the person needs healing from the wounding and truth to be replaced in the lies. A lot of times, like when we're dealing with addiction or something like that, sometimes they're just dealing with the behavioral issue and they just need to repent of whatever the behavioral thing is, alcohol or pornography or whatever it is. And yes, that's true, but we got to get to the root. Where did it all start from, though? What's the lie that they believe about themselves or that they believe about God? Where's that shame? What's that shame addressing? Oftentimes, we're going to come right back into wounding. So wounding may be the first one, but don't bypass it so quickly to get onto the others, like ungodly belief, right? You're more than likely going to actually catch several of these. But that's why I spent so much time talking about the wounding and specifically forgiveness as an example, because it is almost always an automatic first. It's an automatic first step. And then I'm looking for and listening in the we said, is there ungodly belief? You know, as they talk about kind of their circumstances, you know, and if you're in an actual prayer session with somebody where they've set aside time for you to pray with them, and as they share kind of their story, these are the kind of, when you're following this little chart or these little steps, it's easy to kind of just real simple go, oh, that goes in that bucket, you know, that the we said is the buckets, right? Oh, that goes in the wounding area, that's going to go in the sin. Okay, that kind of a thing, right? But then again, being very gentle to walk them through, but they have to be able to do the confession. Lord, I confess this sin, and they name what it is. I think prayers that are specific are really important too. But taking the time to be able to do that with them, and being able to give them simple phrases to be able to pray. I try to keep things like a child, okay? Just real easy, short. They don't have to be long, eloquent, full of scripture kinds of prayers. They really don't, okay? It just has to be believed, because you're going to live what you believe, okay? Now, I like what he says about when we're casting things away in the demonic. Rarely in first responder ministry is there an overt or direct confrontation with the demonic? Because remember the foundation, we have hidden enemies. They don't really want to be found out, okay? They want to stay hidden. But sometimes you will sometimes have some level of influence there. But he'll say, because we assume that there is some level of dark influence, even if there is no presence, we often at the end of a prayer session, or sometimes in intervals in between, we might speak to a dark influence and command it to cease its activity and to leave. We do not need a name. We simply address it by what it has done or attempted to do, like a spirit of fear or a spirit of depression or this lying spirit, just a general, like, what was its assignment? What was its job? Okay, that would be just one way to be able to kind of say, you, that unclean spirit, often in scripture it just says unclean spirit, and you just tell it to leave. We declare freedom from the influence and any familiar voice of accusation or deception. We remind ourselves and the demon of the finished and the triumphant work of Christ on the cross. Okay, and so saying things like, I declare and decree today that Jesus has broken your power over me, and I put myself under his protection, and I'm washed by his blood, and I command your activity to cease. These I statements, I declare and decree, okay? Now, we do it, and then we move on. This is not about having a power encounter. God is all powerful. It's not even necessarily a truth encounter. It's about a God encounter. And that's the most important thing to remember. We are simply trying to get them and God together. Okay? We're getting them, their heart, their mind, their lives lined up with what the Word of God says. And so it's really important that we know that we know what the Word says and that we know what's truth. Now, we have about 25 minutes left over, and I'm going to do a very challenging thing, and I'm going to ask you to find a partner to pray with. Now, you do not have to bring up anything heavy or necessarily anything deeply personal, but I am going to ask you to just look at the we said, okay, and begin to identify as you're going to, I'm going to ask you to pray for each other, just like I would any other time. I'd say, no, y'all just break up into a couple partners and y'all pray over each other, okay? Y'all just pray over each other, but if there's anything that has come up for you that you would like prayer over or whatever, I'm going to ask you to do that with one another. If you recognize that there's someone that you need to forgive, you can walk through that. Someone doesn't have to do the repeat me prayer if you want to say it yourself, but they're just a witness with you and God as you do that. If there's a place of sin or confession or anything that you feel like you want to say or share, that's totally fine. If you guys don't really want to do that, you don't feel comfortable doing that, that is okay too. You have permission to just pray over any other issue that's there, but I just want to give you a space and a time to be able to go there if anything has stirred up that you feel like you want to deal with tonight, that the Lord may be stirring up and with you to deal with. If there's anyone that you feel like you need to forgive, you know, you can certainly do it on your own, but I want you to encourage encourage that you guys to be praying with and for one another too for anything. Go for it if there's physical healing that's needed in here. Go for it. At the end, bless. We always end with blessing. God likes a party, okay? So we always want to end with the positive. So however you end your prayers, make sure you prophesy, declare, and decree blessing, okay? Anything that you would want, okay, then pray that over them. You know, I always tell my son, when you go shopping for someone's birthday party, you get something you really want, and then you know it's a good present, right? So pray and declare really great things over them. Ask the Lord to give you maybe a word or a picture. I don't want us to lose some of the things that we worked on this summer in hearing the Lord, declaring, decreeing, prophecy, words of knowledge, those kinds of things too. So I want us to continue to throw that in. As you're praying for each other, feel free to practice with each other, and it's okay to say that. Remember, I'm practicing, but this is what I think I hear the Lord say. Okay? Deal? All right, so I'm going to pray first just to break us out. Father, I thank you so much for tonight. God, I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would guide, lead, and direct our prayer time together. Lord, I ask that you knit our hearts with one another, that you help us, Lord, to be sincere and honest in our places, that, Lord, you help us, Lord, to be able to confess those things and to be open and vulnerable to those. Lord, I ask that you reveal those to one another and help us, Father, to truly love one another and to be present for those that are here, God, that we would become family, that we would be people who could be honoring and loving and helping people get free, Lord. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence right now. We thank you, Lord. Release your healing in only the way that you can, God. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.